Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to another episode of Three Guys Theologizing. Yes, it is 3GT time, and we're glad that you have joined with us. This is Barry York, president of Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary, located in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And finally, I'm joined with my co-hosts, Kyle Borg, the pastor of Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church, as well as Scott Hunt, ruling elder from Marion, Indiana. Guys, it's good to see you again. How are you both doing?
Now that I get to see both of you, I'm doing great. I don't always know. I feel a little abandoned by Scott lately, but it's always good to see him again.
Well, it is good to see both of you. I apologize for my absenteeism in the past. You know, I've been hit or miss, but hopefully we'll be on a good trajectory from here on out.
Yes. Well, we're glad you're back. I know you're always chasing the bad guys, Scott. So we're glad that you're taking a little time off to be with some good guys. Good guys theologizing. Well, I think the last episode, Kyle, you had to go solo. Neither Scott nor I were there, and you did an interview. Today, we're really got quite a crew here because it's not just the three of us, but we actually have two guests. It's not often that we have two guests join us. And we have with us Bruce and Bruce. So you're going to have to pay, if you're a listener and you don't know these gentlemen, you'll have to pay close attention to them as they speak and interact with us to get which Bruce is talking. We have with us Bruce Bakenstow, who is a retired minister in the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America. I use retired with quotes because I think Bruce is busier in his retirement than he may have been in his pastorate, as he really serves the church in a variety of measures. So Bruce Bakenstow, I'm going to let you say hi first, and then I'll introduce the other Bruce.
Hello. Yes, it's good to be with you, sitting in the home here in Beaver Falls for a change instead of being out on the road.
Yes. Well, we're glad to have you join us, Bruce. And then the other Bruce is Bruce Parnell. Bruce is the pastor of the Stillwater Reformed Presbyterian Church down in Oklahoma. Bruce and I were actually classmates at seminary, although he was a year ahead of me and has been ahead of me ever since. Always still trying to catch up to Bruce. But Bruce, we're glad you are with us as well.
Well, thanks, Barry. I'm really glad to be joining this and enjoy listening to the podcast.
So real quick, if I can interject something, you know, Bruce Parnell, if you've always been ahead of Barry, just curious, would you ever be interested in being part of 3GT? I think Scott and I have overruling votes. We could kick Barry out and give it to you. To keep you ahead of Barry.
No, I think that Barry ought to remain in that position, unless you were talking to the other Bruce.
Well, it is good to have you guys on. And the purpose for having Bruce with us today is that we're coming up on an anniversary of an organization that's been important to not only us and the Reformed Presbyterian Church, but other Reformed denominations, and that's the ministry of NAPARC. And from my understanding, NAPARC is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year, and I know there's some events that are going to be held in commemoration of that. And so we wanted to talk to you gentlemen about that and hear more about your thoughts on NAPARC and what's going on and what the future of this organization is. So I'd ask you, first of all, we use that acronym, throw it around our Reformed denominations, and I like to quiz guys on what it means because I often have to relook it up and make sure I have it all right. But what does NAPARC stand for just by its abbreviation? And then what's its purpose, if you wouldn't mind commenting on that?
I'll jump in, Bruce. NAPARC stands for North American Presbyterian and Reformed Council. And its purpose is to promote the unity of the church and especially those that share the like precious faith of the Reformed doctrines. And so that includes those that are of a Presbyterian background, as well as those who are of a Reformed background, as in the continental Reformed churches. And there are a variety of ways that that sense and vision of unity of the church is worked out. And I'd be happy to speak a little bit about that if you'd like to hear that.
Yes, I think in order to be a member, why don't you tell us what you have to do in order to be a member denomination of NAEPARC, and then we can start talking more about its work. I think you have to subscribe to certain confessions, and there's a process for being admitted into the organization. I also know that its history has been, sadly, some have had to be shown the door, so to speak, and asked to leave because they didn't fall in line with that. So what are the requirements for joining NAEPARC?
Yeah, so there are the constitutional requirements that each denomination will hold either to the Westminster documents and the Westminster standards, and that's the Presbyterian background, and of the Reformed churches, they would hold to the three forms of unity. Mm-hmm. And there is a sense, or there is a process of interview of those that are interested in being part of that. And a denomination has to actually be sponsored by two other member churches, and that sponsorship is given something of a those individual denominations that sponsor will give a closer interview, so to speak, and go over the aspects of those denominations, whether or not they're actually holding to those historic documents, and if they're demonstrating that in their life. And then they would write and invite the one that is applying for membership to come, usually as an observer of the NAEPARC first. And there's an opportunity for all of the member churches to get to know the denomination that's wanting to join. And then usually the following year, there'd be an application that would be submitted that all of the member churches are to vote on at NAEPARC, and has to be approved by two-thirds majority. But then that is also sent down in overture, so to speak. Each of the member denominations as a body has to approve that application. So NAEPARC is not able to, on our own, in our meetings once a year by delegates, we do not have the final say on that. We bring that back to our home synod meetings, our own general assemblies, and a vote is taken as to whether or not to accept that. So, for instance, the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Canada is in the process of becoming known by NAEPARC, and I anticipate that they would be brought forward, not this year, but likely next year, be brought forward as a denomination that we would sponsor to give them membership in NAEPARC.
Hmm. That's a helpful description. What does NAEPARC consist of in terms of its, I'm assuming, is it called a board that oversees the work of NAEPARC? And who serves on that board? Does each denomination have a certain number of representatives? Does it depend on the size, so the bigger ones get more, or how does that all work?
You want to answer that, Bruce? I'll go ahead. Yeah. So it isn't a board, so to speak, but instead, once a year, each denomination, each member church will send up to four delegates. And at that meeting, we sit as a committee as a whole, or a council as a whole.
Okay.
And at the meeting, there are reports from each of the member churches that inform us, give us an opportunity to pray knowledgeably for each other. And then there are throughout the year, there are consultations that take place so that where we share a ministry, for instance, and global missions, there'll be a consultation on global missions. And representatives then of each constituent will send somebody to those consultations. And the effect of those consultations is to encourage co-laboring where we can, or to learn from each other where there are opportunities that we might be weak. Just as a for instance, there's a consultation on Mercy Ministries, and the Orthodox Presbyterian Church has a very robust, biblical, vibrant mercy ministry and disaster response ministry that they have going on. It's something that here in the RPCNA, we don't have anything really like that. And so we would send delegates that would go to that, and we would learn from the OPC, for instance, or we would have opportunity to co-labor with them. And in fact, that's happened on several occasions. Most recently, when there were hurricanes down in the Gulf Coast, and the there were a number of churches that were affected by that, that were not just OPC churches, but the OPC response team responded to those disasters and went in and identified local NAPARC churches that could be ground zero, so to speak, could be the hub for an opportunity to minister. And they ministered to NAPARC congregations and to the communities that were affected by that. So that it's an example that really stands out in my mind of one of the cooperative aspects of NAPARC that is really valuable.
One of the things that we hope to have start is a theological education consultation, which would bring together presidents of various seminaries that are part of NAPARC.
Well, that's good forewarning. I was just talking to a man today from another seminary and just the need to keep working together in the current climate. So I'm assuming that you both sit on the council. I should know this, but at Synod, you don't always pay as much attention as perhaps you should, especially if Kyle's sitting next to you. But anyway,
You and I have never sat next to each other at Synod, but I do recall as a student, you used me as your personal courier to pass notes to people and candy. So that's what I remember about my interactions with you at Synod.
You're both sitting on the council, so you're both members of NAPARC, I'm assuming. And does our Senate appoint you for a certain period of time to do that, or is it an annual appointment?
That happens within the committee. So the committee is elected by Synod, but then each year we will identify four men that will serve as delegates. We also coordinate the meeting of our committee with NAPARC. So we will come in a day early and have our committee meeting, and a committee made up of 6 members and an executive secretary. And we'll conduct our business, but then 4 of our committee will sit on the council and be voting members of the council. And when they're I kind of got sidetracked by the consultations. When the council is meeting, not only do we hear reports from member churches, but we devote time to also talk very directly about matters that are concerning to the member denominations. So each denomination can propose that there would be a subject that would be that we would discuss as a council, and in this case, not really to propose solutions for the member denominations, but to share from our own experiences and to again learn from each other. Just as a for instance, last year at the NAEPARC meeting, one of the questions that came up was about theological education, and was about how are different seminaries and how are different denominations treating the growing opportunities that are coming from international students, and whether there's a requirement for students to come to the United States, for instance, or if there's online learning that is embraced, or just different aspects of theological education and different ways that the denominations are going about that. There are aspects then that we do vote on. We vote on those who are applying for membership. We vote on aspects of those that, Barry, as you suggested, we did have the responsibility of going to the CRC, the Christian Reformed Church, about 10 or 15 years ago, and say to them, brothers, your practice and your doctrine are straying from the Reformed faith. And we as a denomination, and we as NAEPARC, sent delegates to their General Assembly to plead with them to turn back from the liberalizing influences that were taking place in the CRC. And when and that was not a quick process, mm-hmm. It was a carefully thought out, and we sent good men from the RPCNA. We sent Dr. Speer, former theological professor there at the seminary. We sent him to go and to plead with them and to contend with them for the Reformed faith and places where they were straying. Unfortunately, we were met with denial from the CRC, and NAEPARC voted to remove them, or to suspend them first, and then to as a warning, and then finally to remove them from the council based on their practice. And then member denominations also followed suit, or some of them led the way even before NAEPARC had acted, and RPCNA as well voted to break fellowship with the CRC based on that testimony of their teaching and practice that was straying.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a helpful reminder that just because you have Reformed or Presbyterian in your name doesn't mean that you're being faithful to what those words mean. And so that's part of that is the beauty of NAEPARC, is the denominations that belong to it. There's just so much agreement about that. And again, it's always sad when you see not just a congregation or a individual, but a whole branch of Christ's church starting to stray away. And it's part of our witness, as you said, to contend with them and to try to win them back.
You know, on that, if I can just ask, and this is born out of complete ignorance, so I don't know what the answer is. You know, I know that, so Bruce, I laugh a little bit. 27 years ago is actually when the CRC issue came up. It first came up in 1998. So I think you had said 15 years, but for our fathers in the faith, ministry flies by. So, you know, I know that that was a big issue. And like you said, I think if I remember, it started in 98 and maybe finalized in 2002. So there were a number of years, as you noted, of trying to contend with them and persuade them and convince them. Genuine curiosity, in this kind of mutually reciprocal relationship, have you ever, in your experience with NAEPARC, seen good fruit? You know, that was kind of a sad, that was a very sad occasion to have the CRC removed from NAEPARC. But I know that that's not the only time that brothers have really kind of contended in some measure with one another. have you witnessed good fruit from that? Like, is there an iron sharpening iron? Do you think, has our denomination ever been challenged, or have we, as within NAEPARC, challenged others where it's like, oh, we really appreciate that kind of accountability. We're going to step back and think about these things.
Yeah, that's a good question, and I would highlight one thing, and then maybe Bruce would like to jump in on that too. One thing I would highlight is that within the very founding documents of NAEPARC, not only is there a cooperation and counsel that is to be given, but there is what we talk about as a, just read this, to hold out before each other the desirability and need for organic union of churches that are of like faith and practice. So this is something that that has borne fruit, that but it is meager fruit in one sense. There's at the very beginning there were five denominations that joined. The CRC then was expelled, as you say. But prior to that, the Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod and the PCA, the Presbyterian Church in America, had a joining and receiving. Those two denominations did unite together, and we, as a denomination, have had conversations throughout the history of NAEPARC, and that resulted in some joint synod meetings where the OPC and PCA and RPC have been in the same location and had meetings that had in mind discussion very very directly about the possibility of union. More recently, we have been having intentional, what I like to call drawing closer together with the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. And it's not we haven't rushed forward blindly, moved by ecumenicity to join together regardless of doctrine, but have said we have certain aspects about not only our doctrinal standards, but some of our culture and our background that is very similar, and it is a valuable place where we've labored to get to know each other better, and to labor more closely in places where we can. And in this area, I would say that Barry may know, Barry and Bruce may know more about this than I do, but the ARP Seminary, Erskine, went through a very hard period of entrenched professors and board that were following a more and more progressive liberal theology, and I believe that they have been turned back from that path, and I think it's that NAEPARC has played a role in that. I can remember ARP delegates coming to the ARP Synod and asking, brothers, pray for us. We are in a desperate situation. And I think the Lord not only turned around the seminary, but has greatly brought a reformation to the ARP. I think they would freely admit that. And we've been, I would say we've been blessed by them being hosted at their conference center, and we've been blessed by a willingness to share some of their experience in the mission fields, where they have long-term missions in the Middle East, And I think we've picked their brains about those efforts. So those are a couple of examples of where there's been a blessing back and forth. Bruce, do you want to add anything to that?
The bilateral meetings that we have during the NAEP Park meetings, where we will spend a half an hour to an hour with a particular denomination, like Bruce has said, with the ARP quite a bit, but we'll meet with the OP, PCA, Heritage Reform, other denominations, and hear how they too are working with other denominations to unite. I'm compelled, as the fossil on that committee, to mention the fact that before NAEPARC, there was what was called NPRF, National Presbyterian and Reformed Fellowship, which was started by OPs, RPs, RPCES, and CRCs, because we knew that there were rumblings in the Northern and Southern Presbyterian mainline churches. And the prayer at that time was, as congregations would leave the denomination in which they were, they would have the National Presbyterian Reformed Fellowship to come to for fellowship. But the prayer for those of us at the beginning was that as they came, they would see our four denominations and begin to unite with one of the four denominations and not form a new denomination. So it was with tears, at least in my eyes, when the PCA formed. And the proof that they didn't need to do that was the joining and receiving a few years later with the RPCES. So always the question is, why didn't they go ahead and go into the RPCES? So over the years, when the CRC people decided it was time to leave, the question was, where are you going to go? And of course, we know where they went, United Reformed Churches US. And it turns out that often it's a cultural concern. The culture of the RPCES wasn't quite the culture of the denomination, the congregations leaving the PCUSA and the PCUSA, PCUS. And so that's the difficulty that we find today, that when we talk with the ARP, though we share a cultural heritage, in many ways we don't, because there was that noted division and the ARPs went their direction. And as Bruce mentioned, thankfully the Lord used the relationship they had in NAEPARC to see their denomination turn around. Boards began to change their makeup as they looked at us and things like that. So it's a positive thing going forward that a couple of denominations are looking at merging. We're looking more and more with the ARP. And then we have to begin to talk to the other nominations about where we don't agree and on what basis don't we agree. And that's been a very fruitful opportunity to be sure that positions we testify to are founded in the scriptures and not some culture of the RPCNA.
Well, thank you
No,
for.
that's great. Thank you for that. I'll yield here a minute to Barry. I think that's great, right? That just shows a lot of good intentional work over the decades, and I appreciate that.
Yes. Well, in the time we have left, and again, if our listeners want to learn more information about whether your denomination's a part of NAEPARC or what other member denominations are there, you can go to their website. It's a easy Google search to find and see who all belongs and find out other information. But we do want to just here in a few minutes that we have left. You're having a 50th anniversary, NAEPARC is. So what's going on? Where's the party? And what are you doing?
Parties in Beaver Falls.
Yeah, what a place to have a party.
That's right. Technically, it starts Tuesday, the 11th of November, and we meet. Well, Bruce will know. I mean, he meets as with the executive committee first, but then in the afternoon at 2 o'clock, we come together. And then in the evening, we'll have a devotional program, which will be held at Hope Community Church building. And we have Dr. Whitla as the leader of the devotional time. So it's really a worship service that we'll have. That's exciting. And then the biggest one, we want everybody. This is one of the reasons we're glad to be on this, is Wednesday night, the 12th, 7 o'clock, Matheny Fieldhouse. We celebrate 50 years, and Chad Van Dixhorn is going to be the featured speaker to show, hopefully, how the Westminster Standards were really originally meant to draw people together, not divide people. So the countries would know this is where we stand as a faithful country, as a faithful nation. And then we have the president of the college bringing greetings, and we trust Barry's going to open with prayer if he's there that night. And Bruce is going to give a brief summary of NAPARC, which is nicely done. There'll be an ice cream social. Is that Tuesday or is that Wednesday?
That's Tuesday.
Okay, forget that.
You want ice cream, you have to come to the devotion.
You have to come to the devotion.
It's Tuesday night, which is open to the public too.
Yes.
Both are open to the public, free of admission. And we are we have drawn in members of the of each of the remaining original founding denominations. So Chad Van Dixhorn of the OPC, Matthew Everhart of the PCA, and then Noah Bailey and I of the RPCNA, plus Calvin and Barry.
Well, I think I saw an email to that effect that I'll have to answer, but I hope to.
Yeah.
So just to make it very clear for people listening, when we talk about Beaver Falls, that's associated with Geneva College. So you're having your meetings at Geneva College Tuesday night. Give the date and time again, the place. This is going to be at Hope Community, the worship service or the devotional service. What's the date and time again?
So it's November the 11th, 7 o'clock at Hope Community Church Building. And then on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, Matheny Fieldhouse on the campus of Geneva College.
Yes.
And they're both open to the public.
And that one on Wednesday evening, is that considered a devotional service? Is it more like a lecture that Chad Van Dixhorn is going to be giving?
It is more of a lecture, yes.
Okay.
More of a lecture, but there will be prayer and psalm singing. And it's an invitation that's going out broadly to the NAPARC churches. So we're hoping that appeal would draw people to say, oh, here's brothers and sisters in these other faithful denominations, and we want to come together and celebrate the vision and work of NAPARC is goes back to the prayer of Christ, so that the church would be unified. And if it's an opportunity to be refreshed in that, not just to look back, but also to be revived in going forward, we're adding denominations to NAPARC, where I hope that we would be getting smaller in the sense of some of them joining together and making our group smaller. But Lord willing, that will come in time.
Yes, yes.
We've also put together a psalter, a small psalter that has psalms that all the various denominations are familiar with in their hymn books or psalters.
Great. Great. Well, we appreciate you gentlemen joining us. And this is important work to be working together. So often when we look at other denominations, we see what divides us. And when you really think about NAPARC, there is so much that unites us together. And our differences, though important to us, are still small in terms of the wonderful ways in which we can cooperate and so many of the articles of the faith that we do share together. I was just looking today at the Belgic Confession and just thanking the Lord for the chapter on the marks of the church, because it's just such a clear statement, so we can have an appreciation for brothers in different fields. We will certainly put in the episode notes the places, locations, times for these services, and we do hope our listeners who are able to be there would join with us during these activities and keep praying for the greater unity of the church. We are thankful for you joining us on this episode of Three Guys Theologizing. We love to hear from our listeners, so you can write us at 3gt.xyz@gmail.com. If you'd like to learn more about NAPARC, we'll also put that on the website, but you can also go to our website at 3gt.xyz to just learn more about this podcast. Thank you for joining us for Three Guys Theologizing.